Subscribing to this channel provides you regular access to professional advice on independent operators. If you want to support us, like, share, and turn on that notification.
Welcome to Making Your Miles Count Production, an educational program to all Canadian lease owner-operators with your host, Robert Scaper.
Welcome to the Making Your Miles Count podcast. Today we're going to be talking about how to build wealth in trucking, and we're going to deal with personal vehicles. The average truck driver in Canada drives 22 days in a month, or 250 days in a year. That means 65 to 70% of the time, they're gone. Then the real question is, should an individual consider a second vehicle? In a family setting, it's a little bit of a tension to say that, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm going to get home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Could you come out and pick me up? Or how do I get home? Or something along the lines of, what am I going to do? We need a second vehicle because XYZ. A second vehicle for a family is one of the biggest leaps in expenses. If you want to build after-tax wealth, you have to have your income that exceeds your expenses. And expenses have to be kept down to a minimum. There's a lot of assumptions and expectations when it comes to vehicles. North America is grossly over-vehicled. And it has nothing really to do with sometimes real need. It has more to do with want. And today what I'd like to do is go through a few examples to show how really bad choices can make such huge difference in the building of long-term wealth. The first thing that we have to tackle is an assumption. Putting your second vehicle into your corporation magically makes it affordable. First of all, I don't see anybody who buys $60,000, $80,000, or $100,000 vehicle, like a personal vehicle, whether it's a three-quarter ton or SUV, whatever it is, and somehow or other magically putting it into the corporation, and suddenly it's a wise one. It's absolutely not a wise one. Even if, which it will show you that it doesn't, even if you could expense the whole thing, in the end, it's still an expense. It's much better for you to pay taxes than to pay some manufacturing plant for the leather and chrome on a personal vehicle. But anyway, let's back it up a little bit more and look a little bit more clearly on putting a vehicle into your corporation. Bottom line is, it's foolish. It's costly, it's risky, and it's a little bit misleading. In order to fully understand the situation that you put yourself in if you put a vehicle into a corporation, let's use an extreme example and isolate the numbers so that you can see it more clearly, and then you can just add on the numbers exponentially with other situations. Let me give you an example. Let's say you buy a $100,000 SUV or three-quarter ton, dually, whatever it is, and you say, hey, wait a minute, this makes really good sense. Let's throw it into the corporation. The first thing we have to consider, and probably one of the biggest expense, is actually depreciation. That $100,000 vehicle in 1 year's time is only going to be worth $80,000. That's $20,000 in depreciation or lease payments, however you want to finance it. 80% of owner-operators have no logbooks. Now, what that means is that personal travel on a corporate vehicle can't be expensed, and you have to reimburse your corporation for that. So if you don't have any logbook at all, the entire vehicle may be rejected and you got to pay the whole thing back. So it's stupid on stupid, put it that way. But so let's say, for instance, you do have a logbook and you do keep your fuel expense, your maintenance receipts, your dates, your volumes, your time, everything is all exposed there if you were ever audited. But the business travel is expense, the non-business has to be assigned what's called taxable benefit. So let's go back to our example, 80% of the travel of the vehicle. Let's make that assumption, which is really high, by the way, it's obscenely high, to have 80% of a vehicle in your corporation used for your business and only 20% personal. You're stretching it just amazing, especially in the owner-operator industry. The industry averages ranges somewhere between 20 and 25, maybe 30 in that area. And that's without a logbook. In the end, if you're audited without a logbook, that's why they say it's low-hanging fruit and it's do not pass go, and you're going to be paying your $200, not collecting anything. So let's just say now that you have $20,000 worth of depreciation, and we said, 80% of it is business. That means that $16,000 is expensed, and it actually saves you $4,800 in taxes, which is at about 30% calculation. Now, if $16,000 is expensed, $4,000 of that $20,000 is not expensed. And if it's not expensed, you, as the owner who used it personally, has to reimburse the corporation for the corporation's loss. And either it's done by a T4, which adds $4,000 onto your T4, you have to pay taxes on it, or you have to reimburse it $4,000 either way. And realistically, the $4,000 is after-tax money. What does that really mean? It actually means about $5,700 worth of earned earnings before you actually are able to transfer that over. So the $16,000 is expensed, it actually saves $4,800 in taxes based on 30% tax rate. So if $16,000 is expensed, $4,000 is not expensed. So what does the corporation require you to do? You have to pay the corporation back for the use of their vehicle. That's $4,000 of after-tax money that you have to reimburse the corporation. You either write a check and give it to the corporation, or it's assigned as a taxable income to you, and you have to pay taxes on it. Brutal. $4,000 of after-tax income actually works out to $5,700 of earned income at 30%. So you're having to work $5,700 to save $4,800 in taxes. Good luck. Those numbers, when you extrapolate it like that, you realize that you're actually going backwards. The general rule is this: the more you pay for a vehicle, the higher your personal taxes get if you put it into a corporation. If you are an operator, there is no situation where it makes sense to have your corporation own a personal vehicle. If you're the type of family that you absolutely need that second vehicle, it better be rusty, and it better be at a place where it doesn't depreciate anymore, because having a highly depreciating vehicle parked in a carrier's lot waiting for you to get home is excruciatingly expensive. There is another way in which to utilize business vehicle travel, and that is if your corporation pays you cents per kilometer for the use of your personal vehicle. Right now, an acceptable amount by Canada Revenue Agency is 70 cents per kilometer. If you do more than 5,000 kilometers in a year, that 70% or 70 cents per kilometer is actually reduced to 64 cents. Then everything boils down to how cheap can you operate a vehicle? What is your cost per kilometer? And that makes a huge difference. If you make a few assumptions, for instance, $1.45 per liter, making that assumption, that's about 33 miles per gallon US. At 7 liters per 100 kilometers, it works out to a little over 10 cents per kilometer is your running cost for fuel. If it's 27.67 miles per gallon US, that's 8.5 liters per 100 kilometer. That's about just under 12 and a half cents per kilometer. If it's 10 liters per 100, it's 14.5. But let's say, for instance, you buy an SUV, 14 miles to the gallon US, which oftentimes is, I've seen that in many different vehicles. your running cost at 16.8 liters per 100 kilometers is 24.36 cents per kilometer. That's incredibly expensive. You put a few other assumptions in there. For instance, insurance at $2,000 per year with 15,000 kilometers per year. Your cents per cost for insurance is about 13.3 cents. Your depreciation, if you do have depreciation, if it's $2,000 per year, and that means you have a very low vehicle cost. For instance, you're pulling a four-door Honda or something like that, something that's worth, you bought it for $4,000 or $5,000. Is it going to depreciate $2,000 a year? Oh, that would be generally about average. Much better getting a much lower value vehicle because your depreciation per year is much, much lower. If you estimate $2,000 in depreciation for a vehicle at 15,000 kilometers per year, that's again 13.3 cents per kilometer. If you had your vehicle getting 8.5 liters per 100 kilometers, your cost for fuel is 12.3, and then you have insurance and depreciation, which each is 13.3 each, that's 38.9 cents per kilometer. That's your cost for running a vehicle. Now, if that is what your cents per kilometer cost is for your vehicle, and you're getting 70 cents per kilometer reimbursed by your corporation, you're actually taking home 31.1 cents per kilometer in what's classified as non-taxable benefits. Non-taxable benefits is something that you can deposit into your personal account and you don't have to claim anywhere. The flip side of it, your corporation, let's say you do 1,000 kilometers, and 1,000 kilometers, your corporation writes you out a check for $700. You deposit that $700 personally, don't have to pay a penny for it anywhere. And it's 100% tax deductible for your corporation. Actually, if you are in Ontario, you have 13% HST that's refundable on it. So you get $80.53 back from the government on those kilometers. But if your running costs are 38.9 cents, you're actually being able to take $311 into your personal account tax-free. You earned it. That vehicle earned you $311 on that 1,000 kilometers. Now, the difference between the two plans, one, you being paid by your corporation cents per kilometer, and you get paid with non-taxable benefits, that system, and you compare that to when you put an expensive vehicle into a corporation and you expose yourself to taxable benefits for the personal miles that you did drive on it, those are light years apart. So if you want to build after-tax wealth, you have to have the right system that allows you to deposit non-taxable benefits and have your corporation keep the income down and by expensing all of those non-taxable benefits to you. It's a great system. I use it myself. Actually, I have three vehicles I use it all with, and I recommend every single one of our clients use it as well. Actually, the software that we developed for independent operators, it only has the availability of a personal vehicle log that reimburses it cents per kilometer. So every day that you use your personal vehicle, you go on the calendar, you put why you use your personal vehicle, beginning and ending odometer, click submit, and it'll tell you exactly what that particular trip should be paying you at the end of the month. You hit the pay your personal vehicle log, and you get an email or a communication that says your corporation owes you X amount of checks, cents, or whatever your non-taxable benefits are. You take that money out of your corporation, put it into your personal, you don't have to claim it anywhere, and it's 100% tax deductible for your corporation, brings your taxes down. It's a great benefit. And anybody who tells you or or says, hey, you know, I'm a big person. I know what I'm doing. Look at my beautiful SUV, and I just ride it through my corporation. And they really don't know what they're doing. They are confusing themselves, and they're confusing the industry. And their accountant is only doing it because they either don't care, they're not liable in any way, or they just don't know. It's best to always pay yourself cents per kilometer. The other major factor is the actual vehicle itself. I went a little bit into this. There are people that I know worth several million dollars, never have ever bought a brand new vehicle, and probably won't until they're somewhere around the $3 or $4 million range, because a new vehicle depreciates so much. You have to make sure that you have to be making an awful lot of money. An independent operator in Canada, you have to be in the top 1% and worth several million dollars before I would advise that it's okay, I guess, to buy a new vehicle. New vehicles nowadays are just way too expensive. You either look like you make a lot of money, or you retain the opportunity to build wealth. You can't generally have both. The independent operator industry is a continuous investment and reinvestment and reinvestment in yourself. And automobiles are a very tricky illusion of wealth. It is almost always an expense. I know a guy who bought a $500 vehicle, fixed it up himself and got it out on the road, used it for 2 years, and then sold it for $2,000, but that is super, super rare. If you're not a mechanic and you're inclined to say, hey, you know what, I don't want to be caught anywhere, I want to drive home, I want a new vehicle, you're allowed to make one really bad mistake in your life. I guess there's other mistakes that could be worse, but this one, I'd like to warn you about, you know, stay away from this one. A new vehicle, you should be careful on the type of vehicle that you buy and the cost of the vehicle you buy. Depreciation, by far, is one of the biggest expenses. Other than that, this is a great topic. I enjoy the automobile industry as it relates to the trucking industry. Have a great trip.
Thanks for stopping by Making Your Miles Count. For further Making Your Miles Count productions, call us at 877-987-9787 or download us at makingyourmilescount.com.